Bro, back then, TG, like VGME, mm-hmm. was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
Kwakyisi was coming on stage with wheelbarrows and stuff. It was a big deal.
Okay. I'm sorry. I can't even tell if you're trolling. All right. You know what time it is. Come on. Yes. It's time for another exciting episode of the Sincerely Crowd Podcast. And listen, we are back. As usual, how are we always supposed to be? Back with you guys. Yes. It's a new exciting episode. And my name is Joseph NT. I'm going to be the host of this podcast. I mean, I am the host. But, you know, if you're listening for the first time, yes, I am going to be the host. I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. And of course, my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. Yes. So, oh my God. The TGMAs? Telecel Ghana Music Awards have wrapped, okay? It is literally like 6 a.m. I had to wait to watch the show to be able to, you know, record the podcast. I am tired because I went out. Listen, I went out. I've been out dancing. Yes, my darling. I've been dancing all night. And I just came home and I'm like, really watched the stream on YouTube. I had to rush through some of it, you know, just to be able to give you guys this interesting part. You know what I mean? But anyway, it's a new episode. Sit back, relax. We're about to get into what's trending, and you know what's been trending is the TGMAs.
Yeah.
When the feeling hits your body, get a right sense to put you in the mood. Touch your skin and taste your lips all through the morning. Through the more I want to spend my days with you, waiting for something new. Another morning with you.
Oh boy, so much has gone on. Okay, so I want to start. I know TGMAs just happened, but I want to start off with the Met Gala because this was last week, right? Last week, Monday. And I must say, I don't know that I had a lot of hope when it came to this whole black dandy theme that was going on for the Met Gala. I don't, like, in my mind, I was like, oh, Coleman Domingo is going to eat this because, you know, that's literally his whole aesthetic. But for some reason, I mean, I can see the thought and the value of whatever he wore. But I was just like, Coleman, I don't know. It didn't do it for me. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, he looked good, but like, it wasn't great, but it's all right. I think I don't even want to focus too much on the misses, but I'm going to focus on the hits. Personally, I think that the trifecta, the best three looks of the night was Hopi in Tom Brown, Teyana Taylor. I don't know what she was wearing. Was that? No. Oh my God. Teyana Taylor and Janelle Monáe. Those were my top three. Whoopi's dress was so well done. Like, you know, when you see the white part of the dress that's like off to the each side, when you look at the detailing, those are buttons that are sewn to look like that. It's crazy. No, she looked great. I love the cut. I like the color. I loved everything. Like, I just love it that Whoopi is really in her dress up era and is really great. Teyana Taylor, like, there's a shot of Teyana Taylor, like, from the back, and you look at the cape, right, on the stairs, and you know how the cape is kind of like, it's like Morticia Adams, the edge of Morticia Adams' skirt, the way it's like zigzag. No. She looked phenomenal. Okay, I love it. And when you come to Janelle Monáe, the gag for me was when Janelle literally, like, she's wearing this overcoat, right, and she does the reveal. So on the overcoat, the design, there's like a print that shows like a hand holding a bag and everything, and then they open the coat and she's actually holding the same bag underneath. Oh my God. No, Janelle ate. Janelle really ate. And you know how Janelle's always known for doing black and white? And like, I like the fact that she did all of these like, you know, cuts and suit cuts and cuffs and whatever, but this time it was in color. So definitely those are my best three, hands down. Honorable mentions, I would definitely say Cardi B. I love what she wore. I loved it. It was so beautiful. Cardi B really did that. Zendaya. You know, a lot of people are talking about, oh, Zendaya looks so simple. Somebody else wore her look or whatever, but she wore her best. I think the tailoring, because that's it, dandyism, the tailoring, the cut, it was really precise. So I really live for it. Who else? Let me see. Demi Moore showed up looking like a Thai, and I didn't feature it too much. It was all right. And also, a lot of people were giving Tyler grief because they said her dress was not ironed or steamed or whatever. Like, I thought she looked fine. Honestly, I didn't even notice this whole wrinkle situation until the internet started talking about it. You know what I mean? Sometimes y'all just be doing a lot. But hey, I actually also like Rihanna. Rihanna being pregnant a third time is crazy. You know, there was a video that was going around where she was walking her son down the street, and she had her hand on her waist, and somebody was like, oh, I know that walk from anywhere, she's pregnant. And I was like, come on guys, she can't be pregnant, like, you know, she actually is. And the funny thing about this was, like, we actually saw a picture of her like before she got ready, like she didn't care, like she was like, the cat's out of the bag anyway. But I think I liked her look. The hat that she was wearing reminded me of one of the hats that Kate Winslet wore in Titanic. If you watch Titanic, the first time we see Kate Winslet, literally the shot is like an overview and then like it's her hat and then she raises her head and you see her face. That hat really reminded me of that. So I loved it. Nikki also looked great. First of all, we haven't seen Nikki in a minute. She popped out and she looked great. So, you know, kudos to that. I don't know how I felt about what Lizzo wore. But I want to just, before we move on to the next thing, I want to speak briefly on Oswald Boateng. So Oswald got to style Tems, Burna Boy, Ira Starr, and some other people. And I think this is a great opportunity for a Ghanaian designer who's also very known in like making suits and all of these kind of things, because, you know, that's what he does. But I don't know. I just felt like... I felt like there were misses, and it's so painful because, you know, sometimes when you're critiquing, and especially as a Ghanaian person, you want to support and say, you know, like, Oswald is good at what he does, but I don't know if he's good at doing the Met, because from Tams to Ira, I don't know. And also with Ira, girl, that pussycat wig, nah. The whole, I just don't know. Like, when, you know, they do like pictures of like, who styled who and who was on whose whatever, and I saw the Oswald Boateng models, and not a single person did I look at and say, oh, yippee-yay, like, no. But hey, you know, good shout to Oswald Boateng, I guess, for putting God on the map. But I just felt like, yeah, a little bit of a miss for me. All in all, it's just very interesting to see everybody's interpretations of black dandyism. I think a lot more people were on theme than not, because usually when they do these like other themes, it's like people come in and they just wear whatever. Like, for example, I don't know what the thinking was behind, because like, they said Megan Thee Stallion was what, Justin Baker or whatever. Like, why? It doesn't fit. Black dandies, I don't know. I felt like the people that showed up in dresses, I don't know what it was supposed to give. Maybe I need to read more. And oh, also, Heidi Klum, how dare you? You showed up to the Met Gala in a simple black dress, not on theme. You do the most for Halloween. Listen, one time you were a literal worm, full makeup and everything. People couldn't tell where your head was and where your butt was. And you showed up wearing a simple black dress, Heidi Klum, somebody that used to do Project Runway where people make outfits. Ah, I'm sorry. Disappointment, to say the least. But anyway, that was the Met. And you know, it gave what it gave. And this time around, I would say, I didn't really follow it at the same time. I just woke up the next day and I was just looking at stuff. And people did well. Oh, big shout out to Alton Mason. I think Alton Mason killed his look. It was amazing. And also, Dochi, for all of the huffing and puffing you were doing about extra umbrellas and that whole box situation, I don't know. Maybe I don't appreciate what you're doing because I cannot relate to the black power or whatever. But like, girl, that look was a letdown. I felt like it was underwhelming. That's just how I felt. But it is whatever it is. Now, moving right along from the Met, now we juxtaposition that to the AMVCAs, which happened on the same night as the TGMAs. Let me just say this, Nani Kiadu. We get it. You always do come up and do something show-stopping. But let me tell you something. If you're going to have mechanical wings or whatever to your dress, we do not need to see the control box at the back of your dress. hide it, put a sash, put a bow, something. The fact that like you see the back of the dress and then the thing is hanging there, that big thing with the wires and everything, it just takes it out of the fantasy for me. You know what I mean? And I'm immediately thinking, how is she going to sit down? You know what I mean? So look, Vicky James is putting a sash in like stunning outfits. People looked really good. Don't play. Mercy Lambeau won best dressed. And you know how they do their best dress. You actually have to be on the carpet in the stipulated time. So there are certain people that you might think look better than Mercy, but if they didn't walk the carpet at the stipulated time, they would not be out for consideration. But yeah, Mercy looked good. She got best dressed. Inedima, I like what Inedima wore as well. Shout out to Sardine Oil. I see that you, their team from Ghana, they were nominated for something. I don't know if it was a documentary or whatever, but I saw their post and, just the way that we do things is so interesting because the AMVCAs by 4 p.m. people were posting. They were done by 9:30 and GMAs were still waiting.
Come forward. Whenever I say people should come forward, I'm not cocoa beating you. I'm not touching you. I'm just here to advise you.
So this year's TGMAs, I must say, first of all, let us start with the red carpet, okay? But anyway, I think this is the very first time that the AMVCAs have happened on the same day as the TGMAs, because let me tell you, when they say the difference is clear, okay? You know, the AMVCAs are very strict about time. Around 4 p.m., you see the celebrities are already posting their photo shoots that they've done for their outfits, which means that this was probably done at like 2, 3. Yes. The outfits are already started going out 4:30. And you know that they have a strict policy. If you want to win best dressed on the red carpet, you need to be on the red carpet between, I think, 6 and 7. And the show starts by like 9:30 was done. It was done. At the time, I think the red carpet was still being put together at TGMAs. But anyway, the red carpet was interesting. I think, so it was Regina Van Helvert and, Bliss King. Okay. And it was like, they had a separate situation going on. He was speaking to some people on one side. Regina was speaking to people on the other side. And Regina, I must say, I was really dying to see you walk in that dress. Cause you know, the way the dress is was a little like, is that what they call a fish? But like the way that dress, you look like a statue cemented to the ground. I was just like, I want to see if this girl can move in it. But really cute gown. There were some interesting, I mean, like I said, I brushed through some of them. But you know, the red carpet is always interesting to me because I can't quite tell if we really fully have a certain kind of dressing for the TGMAs, you know, because you know, if you're looking at something like the BETs, they're a bit more funky, you know, you can come in denim and some assortment of something, you know, take it a little bit out of the box. If you look at the Oscars, it's a bit more like, you know, black tie. If you look at the Emmys, you know, but for TGM, I can't quite put a finger on what it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's a music thing. So definitely should be funky. People can be able to wear blazers and whatever and look different. But you know, it's like, hey, red carpet. So people are going to gown it up. And I just, it gets confusing sometimes, but look, standouts. I really liked what Fela McCaffrey wore. I really liked it. I saw the photo. Great. Look, the best thing you need to do, and Charlie says it all the time, is to always make sure you hire a team and do your photo shoot before you hit the carpet. Because sometimes the lighting on there, what the bloggers are going to give, is not going to fully give what you want your thing to give. But yeah, I liked what Fela McCaffrey wore. I think there was a girl called Adra Nuela or something. She had like this fringe red orange thing going on. She was part of the panel that had the thing with Regina and Helen. I liked it. I like what she wore. It was cute. I saw Wesley. I preferred when Wesley took the jacket off. Yes, I preferred when Wesley took the jacket off, took the hat off and put the fascinator on with a finger that was over his eye. I liked the whole detail of the back of the jacket. So definitely that was nice. Who else did I remember I saw, what's this guy named Tulinki on the red carpet with like a silver tape on his mouth. Does he have a new song out? I don't know what that was about. But anyway, listen, let's just move on because you know what? The looks, they never give outstanding. So let's just move on. Okay. The show started off with IEC. Okay. IEC performed Can I Live? And then of course, wherever the pot is there, we step clean. Yes. A classic song. It was great to see IEC, you know, he looks well. The voice was really strong and I liked it. I liked the performance. I mean, it was a great way to start. I must say,
Kwaku Smoke ended the show. He was the last performance, and I don't think that was the right place for him to go. I saw Olele tweeted something about, like, you know, there was like, they had to move him around because he was sick or something. He wasn't supposed to come, but he came last minute. That's why he was the last performance. But I just feel like for the flow of the show, he shouldn't have been last. But anyway, I digress. The first thing that I will say is, I must say, it is obvious that there was a little bit of a stepping up. Yes, there was a little bit of a stepping up. The camera angles, the kind of views that we were getting, it was better this time around. The overhead camera that was up on that cord or whatever, that, like, you know, yeah, you remember doing Stone Boy's performance, kept looking into it and, like, performing into it. I really like that. I think you can tell. There's a little bit of a technical upgrade. You can tell. You can definitely tell. And is it just me or the stage look bigger? The stage looks so big. The screens was, you do realize, like all of the performances had a lot of dancers. They would all, like, and another thing, was there like a code for all the dancers to be wearing white? Like every single person, performance after performance, all the backup dancers were pulling up in white outfits, you know. But yeah, big stage, more like people put a lot of effort into having background dances with choreography and stuff. It wasn't just, you know, the solo walking up and down or sitting. It was a little different. So those are the things that I noticed. I feel like there's been a little bit of a stepping up. And I think that we need to, you know. One thing I will say, though, when they were mentioned the awards, the page breaks, they didn't put it like, it's like, I know that you're doing a voiceover and saying, Olive the Boy, Asylum, but like, I felt like the text should show as well. You know what I mean? The text was not showing on the pages that was announcing the artists, and I was just confused by that. But anyway, let's get into it. So, some things that I saw, Daughters of Glorious Jesus performed. You know, when they came on there, I couldn't, you know, because it was zoomed out, I was like, who are these people? They're giving Sound of Music with their black and white. They look like Maria and, you know, her outfit. But it's good to know the ladies can still sing. The lead lady that was in the middle, oh my goodness, the vocals were on. Strong, strong vocals. The ladies still have it. The mic was on. And hey, great performance. Also, they honored Yao Sapong and Usibisa. First of all, I didn't know Yao Sapong had aged that much. I'm sorry. The last, I feel like, you know, we all grew up. You know, I remember seeing him. He was standing in the forest with his punk and his suit. And they showed him and he was like, oh my God, he's growing old. We're old, y'all. Listen, Yao Sapong, shout out to you. And of course, it was nice to see Adoma, Titi, and Adina give a little tribute to Osibisa. I love that. That was really nice. Another part that I really enjoyed was, you know, Kojo Manuel and Vyrosky, when they had that set from Bee's Trap to Molly. I think there was one more person. Who am I forgetting? Was it Kojo Black? Yeah. Bee's Trap, by the way. Beast Trap won artist, best new artist. You know, in the conversation you're going to listen to down the line of this podcast, I speak to Reginald Ama from, Full Access. And, you know, he literally predicted this win. But Beast Trap, I was impressed. I was impressed by his performance. I think it was good. You know what I mean? Olive the Boy won an award. I forgot what he won. Let me see. I have it here. Best Afrobeat song. And Olive the Boy came up on the stage and he was chewing gum right into the microphone. And like in between whatever he was saying, it be me do I be doing, we could hear the gum popping off. And I'm just like, Olive, come on. Like, why? But shout out to you. Listen, at the very beginning of the show, you know, when they were taking the overhead shots with the camera and everything, did you guys notice all the empty seats in the front? All the reserved seats were empty. And I was like, why the hell? Like, you know, this calls into question who the hell the producer of the show was. Because, you know, from my experience, usually you see all of the footage on the camera, like in the green room, you see the different shots. And then the producer decides what will take center stage. So which shot should be on the screen right now? You can't tell me that you didn't see that there were empty seats. It showed like 4 or 5 times. The overhead shots, so many empty seats in the front. And I know it's because people were late, because getting to the middle of the show, the place was packed. But it's like the show had to start and there were so many empty seats. Y'all need to invest in seat fillers. I don't know, because because they were all in the front, you know, so it's reserved, and so it was empty. It didn't give cry. I don't want it. I'm sorry. Whoever was like behind the camera, y'all should have seen that and fixed it. Kojo Black performed, and I must say, y'all need to make up your mind. If you're going to have the backing track and mime. If you're going to actually perform, do not have the backing track. Have the beat. If you cannot even get somebody to play live band or live instrumentation or whatever, have the beat, put it together and come. Because Kodjo Black, I mean, you know, good physical effort, but I just feel like I kept having to struggle between the playback and then his actual voice. I was like, which one is which? And it just didn't give what it was supposed to give on audio, sonically, you know what I mean? And I love Excellent. You know, I really like Excellent. There were a lot of good performances. Okay, I would definitely say Stoneboy knocked it out of the ballpark. I mean, I was out, so I was on Twitter and I was seeing people saying certain things. I was a bit confused because when I watched it, I felt like Stoneboy 8, Kim Promise 8, Kitty 8. Like, there were a lot more great performances this time than bad. Yeah, like they came out, they had choreography, they had sets. They like Kim Promise starting off in the telephone booth. You know what I mean? It was, he had to wait a little bit for the phone to start ringing. I must say, you could tell Gregory was like, yo, somebody press the button later. But you know, I Stoneboy was so electrifying. Oh my goodness, it was so electrifying. Oh yes, and I want to say, I really like that Molly got the chance. Because you know, like the Shake It to the Max is the most Shazam song right now. Shake It to the Max is doing so well. Although her second song, I like the shout out to the 90s bad girls, you know, Ghana babes of old and whatever. I like the little thing at the back, but I don't know if that performance of your new song was the best. I think that, you know, given that Shake It to the Max is like doing so well, and I'm sure you want to introduce this new song so that it'll be something that you guys start promoting. I just feel like a lot of emphasis wasn't placed on like the sonics of that new song. Like I came from watching the thing and I don't remember what the song sounds like. I'm sure if I like go and check online and stuff, yeah, but I feel like, you know how like Samini debuted Linda at that Terry Bunchaka Memorial and the performance was so intentionally good that it's just stuck in your head? For those of you who know, the millennials I'm talking about, I just feel like if you're debuting a new song, like I came away from the show not really memorizing or remembering what the song sounds like. But Shake It to the Max was good, girl, so you know, kudos to you. Of course, best collaboration, Lomo Lomo. Best Afropop song, Paris. Album of the year, True to Self. Okay, okay. I mean, more deserved this year than last year, I must say. You know, I'll be very honest with you. I just feel like The Villain I Never Was deserved that win, but it's cool. It's cool. Most popular song of the year, Asira. And that was Kim Paluta's only win, I think. And I remember he tweeted early in the day that he was going to trend in the evening. Not only did he not tweet enough, I think he just said congratulations to Kim Promise. He didn't tweet throughout the whole process. You didn't trend. Like, you didn't even do anything on the show for it to be like, ooh, ah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, say for the few times the camera panned to you when you wanted an awards or what you didn't win. I don't think you were trending tonight. But you know what? I like your performance. It was good. It was good. Like, breaking down Asida, it was good. And then the intro to Makoma and Apike, I liked it. Although, I must say, I won't even say a critique, it's a question. Why was, like, when we were performing Apeke, you were having montages of like couples, Sakodie and Tracy, Akwaba and his wife, which by the way, you see that picture that Akwaba posted of he and his wife like last weekend that everybody was trolling. They said he looked old. That picture was part of the pictures that like the team was playing when he was performing Apeke. And I was like, okay, I get it. But like, I just felt like Apeke, like maybe you should have done it for Makoma. I don't know, but like Apeke and showing couples, okay, like what, the relationship has popped? I don't know. I just didn't get that part. But anyway, best rap performance went to Smoke, Holy Ghost, of course. Best hip life, hip hop artist went to Smoke, of course. And best hip hop song went to Smoke as well, Quick with Smoke. So shout out to you. Everybody said you put in a lot of work. If you had Tilly, at least Gregory won Artist of the Year, so you can give Quick with Smoke a break. Because this girl has been, like, in her promotion of Kim Promise and saying Kim Promise was supposed to win, she has been on Paluta's neck, okay? And what's the name of that? It's a portfolio. He came up there to receive all of like some awards for people. It wasn't even a Kim Paluta award that he came to receive, but anyway, portfolio. I want to also talk about Teflon Flex and his girlfriend, Real Sweet Apple. I don't know, I just really enjoy seeing them on the red carpet. They always just like give something, you know what I mean? Like, I don't listen, I'm not like in tune to the streets too much. So I will say, I don't know a Teflon Flex song, but I've met them before at Freak Fridays. They're really nice. And also I just, every time they show up on the red carpet, they draw attention to themselves. And I think like, it's very interesting. It's part of like being a celebrity and getting it right. I just wish that the records and stuff will marry so that we know the music. But anyway, hey, shout out to you guys. Empress Gifty, I just want to say, I almost missed you. Girl, is it just me or Empress Gifty's doing something to her face? Stop playing with your face, girl. Stop. No, for real. Like, I couldn't recognize. I was like, who is this? It wasn't, because I saw her on the red carpet. It wasn't until she came on to perform and they wrote Empress Gifty. I was like, what? It, like, in the eyebrow area. I don't know. I don't know whether it's Botox, a little lunchtime routine. I don't know if it was a nip tuck. I don't know, girl. Like, just stop playing with your face. I didn't recognize you. Oh, you're looking like Ming Lee. I did it. Empress Gifty, please. I didn't recognize you. Also, Kim Promise, you know, kudos to you for winning album of the year. Kudos to you for winning artist of the year. I think Kim Promise's mother looked amazing. She is so, oh my gosh, she was so cute when she was up there being so happy for her son's win. And it was cute and everything, but I just wanted to speak about Kim Promise's outfit, what he wore before he changed into the crop top. You know, when he was wearing like denim, like faded denim with like a gray jacket, white shirt, and then like a burgundy or red tie. First, like, I just feel like I get where you were going with the look. I get it. I just think that a few edits could have saved it. The jacket shouldn't have been light because you're wearing faded, like the it's like acid wash, like off white bluish, you know? So if you're going to wear a jacket, you need to wear something darker. The gray jacket in the light, when you go and stand there in the light, it washes it out. Like it's like you're wearing white. He should have gone for a darker blazer, and the tie should have been triangle, not that square cut off. And then even the knots should have been different. That was two corporate knots. Like it didn't, like, you know what I mean? I don't know who styled you, but that just, I mean, for somebody that, like, you know, artist of the year, you came in with high, I just felt like the dressing fell a bit short. I know it's different because, you know, you didn't come in like an anime character like you did the last time, but like, I just had to talk about it. What else? Oh, yeah. So the show was hosted by Nah Shoko, and then a part of it being hosted by Foster Romanus and AJ Sapong. You know, I'm just gonna say, we know what GH comedy gives. And so, Foster Romanus, it was okay. There were a couple of dry jokes that, you know, I felt like AJ powered through and she did what she needed to do. And for this reason, I would say let's start considering her as an actress. She pulled through. But, I didn't see Foster Romanus and not expect some of these jokes. So it's fine. But I just want to say, Nah Shoko, I saw the tape. You know, like, I think her earpiece, that goes in her ear. So they literally like tape it to her back. And at the beginning of the show, oh, by the way, I like the shot when she was standing in the audience. I really like that shot. I think it was very interesting. It's high time y'all change it up. So she's not always on stage. It was, yeah, I like that shot. But when she started to talk to people in the audience, you could see that the tape was holding the wires of her mic to the back. They literally taped it to her back. And whoever did it, girl, I don't know whether you were pressed for time or you were upset. They didn't even like use scissors to get a perfect, nice rectangle. It was ripped in different places. Like, almost taped. It wasn't a good look. And also, I like, did you guys not prep Kojo Black that you're going to ask him questions? Because Kojo Black, come on. Yeah, look, this is what I'm going to say. TGMAs, if you're going to come to TGMAs, you're going to play a part, you're going to speak or whatever, I think you need to bring the A game. Fix the personality, prepare one for us. If you don't have one, rehearse one for us, because this is when people are interacting with who you are. A lot of people hear your music and they don't really know you or what you look like, and at TGMAs is where they learn about you. So like, Nah Shoko's like, oh, what are you expecting? You're like, fine, one word, like, girl, just put me off straight up. I was like, I like Excellent, but Kojo Black, is this how you sound? Like, where's the energy? You know what I mean? But all in all, it was great. Rex Omara, I was there to present an award with Ifya. You know, the show could have started early and ended early, but it is what it is. Shout out to Ochami Kwame coming out as Pharaoh or whatever that was. And listen, Elikim the Taylor, I saw what he was in the awards. And this is the thing. As somebody that makes clothes for people, okay, I rarely ever see Elikim like wearing something and I'll be like, oh, I want him to make me one. I rarely ever see it. Like, I didn't get, I didn't fully listen, but he was on a red carpet. He had his whole, like, samurai whatever thing going on with the wooden slippers and everything. And the machine. I just didn't get it. I'm just like, what is going on? Anyway, that's my review of TGMAs, y'all. That is my review. I'll give you a quick one, and I hope I covered everything that I needed to cover. Shout out to all of you guys. You guys did a thing. I could see the effort that was put into the performances, the background dancers. It was very interesting. And I don't know. I feel like, and this comes back to the producer of the show. Every time that they would announce a winner, you like, can your camera find the person making their way? Because for some reason, another thing. All these empty seats that were in front for people that were reserved, why are the nominees sitting at the back? Can promise us to come back from the back? Beast trying to come back from, like, I feel like if you've nominated artists, first three lanes, put them there. Put them there. So now, as soon as you mention their name, it's not a long walk. Because that's the thing. You mention people winning. We're literally sitting down waiting, and the camera doesn't pan to the audience to see whether the person is coming. You leave the camera on the person that just announced the winner. And we are just sitting there like this. Like, come on. Y'all had multiple cameras. Check. Like, show us something. It happened way too many times. Way too many times somebody will win, and we are just looking at the person that presented the award, and they are waiting for the person to come. And because they're also coming from the back, it was just like, girl, what's it giving? If you've nominated people, put them in the front. Let's keep that walk towards the stage shorts. You know already it's entourage. You know the thing is, like, when they're coming from the back, they keep meeting people, and they'll be like, oh, come, let's go. Before you realize you have 20 people up on stage for an award that's like, come on. Anyway, TGMAs 2025. I would say a slight improvement, and there's still more work to be done. But, shout out to you guys. It was great. Alright, so ahead of the TGMAs, okay, I met up with Full Access's Reginald Ama. Okay, I don't know if you, and some, those of you who know Full Access, you know Reginald is always going in on the Ghanaian music scene, telling you his very candid, open opinions and stuff. And, we wanted to do a conversation about the TGMAs without even, this is like before the actual night. And Kwame and I felt like he was going to be the greatest person to pick just to have this conversation with, because I find his videos very interesting. And so we're going to go into this conversation that was recorded before the TGMAs, okay? We didn't know who was gonna win. We didn't know anything. We're just like spitballing, shooting out in the dark. But it was a really great conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. I'll catch you on the other side of this. We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties, just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite apps, ride-sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House, we stay real. Today's episode is going to be very interesting, because we're going to be talking TGMAs. And to do that, I brought a very interesting individual I discovered on Twitter. Okay. He put out a video. I can't remember. He says it's probably when he was talking about Blacko, but I remember seeing a video and like he was just talking very emphatically, passionately about something to do with music. And I said, who is this? And I've been following, so when Kwame and I decided to do TGMAs, I said, I know just the person to call. And if you've never seen me wearing sunglasses on here, it's because he wears sunglasses. Sure. And so in solidarity, I'm also wearing sunglasses, Anyway, I have Reginald Ama in the building from the Full Assets Show on Full Circle. Is it Productions Network?
It's Full Circle.
It's Full Circle.
Yeah, just Full Circle.
And I'm also just finding out that he's a DC boy.
That's crazy. I feel like this year, no, last year, I found out that a lot of people are from DC.
Boys,
yeah. Yeah, even like when I talked to Mensa and Samini and all of that, I was like,
oh, wow. You and Samini.
Anyway, welcome.
Bro, thanks.
So can you tell people real quick about your show, Full Access?
So obviously like Full Access, Full Circle. So yeah. But Full Access is basically like a music editorial block on Full Circle's YouTube, where is myself and probably myself and then maybe a talent or a creative where we talk about music. But predominantly it's just me speaking on like stuff that you or any other person wouldn't want to speak on. Or maybe they are too scared to speak on that. Me, I'll come and talk.
What makes them too scared to speak on it?
They are scared to step on toes and whatnot. So but you are not forget that when you step on the toes, like those people low-key, they'll come back and be like, oh yeah, I picked nuggets from whatever it is that you said. So yeah,
has that been your experience?
Oh yes.
Oh really?
Yeah, multiple times.
Ah. Hey, I thought the egos were being played. Don't come and tell you that.
No. Like they see me outside and it's cool.
Oh, you're outside a lot?
Not necessarily, but I pop my hair like few places sometimes.
Oh, okay.
But it's cool. Like when you see me, it's cool. It's all Gucci.
So would you say there are any inspirations for how you like do your show, your presentation? Because I'm thinking, like when I first saw your video, it was given a little bit of like Joe Budden meets. Why are you laughing?
Nah, that's very spot on.
Is it right?
Yeah, that's very spot on.
Is that your inspiration?
So, to be very honest, when I was starting Full Access, mind you, I didn't want to do this.
Okay.
Like, bro, I wanted to stay in the dark and just do my thing. But yeah, they were like, my people were like, yeah, Charlie, if I do this, make we put camera together. Make we put camera sets, lights, and things, then make we do them. It's like, cool. Already, I've been listening to like music podcasts.
Okay.
I've been listening to that. Bro, I enjoy listening to podcasts even more than listening to
which music podcast do you listen to?
There's one with Kimpin, Ferrari, and then Wendy Day. I forgot him. Cheat Code.
Okay.
I've been listening to Joe Biden too as well. Just today, I was listening to Rory and Mal.
Okay.
I've been listening to a couple of them, a handful of them. And if it's like 30 minutes, I don't enjoy it. It has to be 3 hours or 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Bet. Long form conversation is the best. It's just that sometimes the part of the world that we live in is like everybody's saying, oh, attention span. So we have to give them short form content. And then it's not as, you know.
It's not really.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want to tell me? That's me. My Full Access, that is short too. So.
Hey, your words, not mine. But anyway, let's just jump right into it. Okay. Right. TGMA is the 26th edition. And I wanted to start by talking about the evolution of the awards. And I feel like every year, the same problems keep running through. And it's like when they fix one thing, then another thing that didn't work gets worse.
Right.
We never get our start time well. I mean, I feel like it seriously doesn't make sense that you have to, if me just sitting at home waiting for the awards to finish, I get exhausted. So I cannot imagine that you go and you sit in that auditorium till 2-3 a.m. I feel like we really need to do something about that. There's always technical issues with performances. The experience in there is not the same as what translates on TV. I don't know what kind of sound setup they have to do to make that work. Because a lot of people say, oh, the thing was nice. When we are watching on camera, TV,
different.
You know, and we know it's possible. What else? The hosts. You know, I feel like there was a time when coming on there and being, hi guys, my name is Reginald Ama, and I'll be your host for tonight. I feel like it used to work, early 2000s. But we are in a like...
The Chris Atto time, it used to work.
It used to work. Right now we're in a relatability, you know, era. I feel like come here and make the substance of your hosting more about the categories, the music. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like we have some of the... This is just some of the things that I have noticed. What would you say?
So I feel like with what you just said about like the hosting, it's feeling like those times. It hasn't changed. Like, it's still like it's been flat for a long time. You can use any other person. You can even pick a doctor and let the person host TGMA. If you orient the person well on the awards, the person will be able to deliver a stellar performance by like hosting. You just have to orient the person well because obviously you need to know where and when and you need to know how to go about it. So you don't have to, like, you don't need hosts who just come on and then they'll just do, oh, and my outfit is sponsored by.
Yes. And yes, it's like every time they change, then they'll come and say, what do you think about my outfit? Nah. Oh, yes, nah, you really killed it.
It's supposed to move far past that. Like the hosts are supposed to even like give us nuggets. So that when you're even sitting at home or you're even sitting in the midst of the people you're watching, you'd be like, hey, I never knew this. Oh, this is what? Okay.
Actually, like, also, I just feel like be well versed in, for example, when I was watching the Grammys, mm-hmm. just the opening that Trevor did, mm-hmm. he was talking about who was nominated, the number of people
on the board,
yes,
who was allowed to vote, all these things.
If Beyonce wins, this will be her 30 this award. Yes. This person has won 5 awards since the awards thing mm-hmm. started. Like, you're giving us information that we have to Google, but we're getting all that. But what do we get? Oh, and I want to give a quick shout out to mm-hmm. Pistis for my gown. And I get, like, you, that can be an Instagram caption when you post the picture. You know what I mean? I feel like the host, and they don't also like create moments. So mm-hmm. for example, if you, I think, was it the Oscars when Ellen DeGeneres did like the selfie thing, mm-hmm. you know, the hosts are always adding to the entertainment value. But like, our hosts,
it's almost like, it's always flash. There's this BT Awards, this thing. Was like Real Husbands of whatsoever.
Yes,
and
yes. Kevin Hart.
And he was about to present an award, but he created a moment by literally trolling everyone's outfits.
Yes.
And Kevin wasn't the host.
Yes.
But it like even created a moment. We have people coming and they're coming to present awards and then nominees are, and it's flat, and then they go. There's no substance. Like, you being there, why are you there?
Yes, it's true. I also feel like when there's no intentionality, because, you know, when you look at like the international awards, mm-hmm. the people that come there, usually, let's say, Sinners is out. Mm-hmm. So they can have the cast of Sinners come and do stuff. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, they're hand in hand. You don't, because people have things that they are promoting, whether it's film, whatever. You can work with them. Yeah. They come on, do a little. So these are some of the issues that I have with the show. What are some of the issues you have with the show, aside from the hosting?
Charlie means a lot too, because last year, Charlie, like we're actually working on one of the performances. Like, everything looked great from the rehearsal and all of that.
Do you want to say who?
Oh, Promise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kim Promise. Yeah, Kim
the
Promise.
Little vocal moments.
Yeah, it was like everything looked great. Promise was supposed to go on stage at 9. Mm. Bro, could you believe that it was 9 and their technical team, lights, camera, sound, they were like, oh, it's past 9, it's like 9:15 and Promise has like, they've not gotten word yet. Bro, they said it's 9. Whether it's 9:45 or mm-hmm. whatsoever, be there and wait for the guy to climb the stage. But once it's 9, that's when your time starts. Because they said it's 9, come to my house at 9. Whether you come at 9:05 or 9:09 and I'm not there, just come to my house at 9. So you're mm-hmm. supposed to be there, bro. Time goes, Promise comes up. And bro, last year, we actually did a lot of things. Promise's performance was supposed to, like, he performed in water.
Yeah, I saw.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The lighting and everything in some way. I watched it on TV. I was like,
it didn't translate.
This isn't what, so that goes back to what you were saying. Sound, mm-hmm. even how the thing even looks on TV. Like, there's no proper, like, it's like you watch a thing on TV, you don't really appreciate it much. It's very, very like.
Yeah. It's just, and even like, you know, for people that have to watch it on YouTube Live and things like that, because
YouTube Live at TGV.
People watch it on YouTube. The people that don't live in the country. Now, where are they going to watch it?
Was me TJ, maybe like live TV broadcast. That is it. I didn't think they would stream it.
Oh, no. That's how Kwame watches it. Yeah. Because it's like, yo, it never does translate. And another thing, mm-hmm. I feel like our plaques.
Looks the same, man. Nothing does
it look the same. They've changed it, Mom. From when it started, they've changed it. But mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity to visit certain artists that mm-hmm. have won some of these awards. It's like 5 years down the line,
same black.
They look horrible.
Right.
Like the way they look, faded and stuff like that.
Sustenance.
You know, like, also, you think is the function of how the person has also kept it?
Not necessarily, but I feel like if you are doing something, obviously, if I give you a plaque, right, mm-hmm. I know that you go and put the plaque in probably like a vault or maybe like where you keep your plaques or maybe a shelf or something. Yeah. It's going to be there till maybe you die. Uh-huh. So you have to make sure that the plaque is going to be able to withstand certain whatsoever, maybe dust, and you go feel cleaner one or two, but you just need to put a little bit of effort into it. I mean, when I saw some of the past plaques, when I saw them, when it was the Ghana map
with the
I think it was a guitar music
thing, inside.
When I saw it, I was a little bit discouraged, but I was like, okay, cool. But those times, so.
But the new ones don't look any better. I feel like, please. Oh, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of people like to say that, oh, we like complaining and things. But see, me, my thing about this industry is like, critiquing is like a big part of mm-hmm. entertainment show business, which is why I really like your show. I think that if only people in this country's entertainment business will get out of their feelings mm-hmm. about critique, you'd go far. Not everybody's going to like you and what you do. And not everything that you do is going to be great just because maybe right. you've done great things before. And you should be open to the fact that somebody can critique you and be mean well.
I think TGME actually stepped up when 3 Music Awards came. Mm. They stepped up their game to a certain extent.
Production-wise?
Yeah, production-wise, curating performances, like, and what's not. At first, TGME, you just call artists, they'll come and perform and then they'll go home.
What's it then?
Yeah.
Me too.
You just come and perform and then they'll go home. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure back then they didn't really see the need of maybe like reimagining the songs that they'll perform on stage and all of that. But I feel like 3 Music gave them like a fair competition.
Yeah.
And I'll blame 3 Music too. Because you people know the right now, that'd be why these people don't feel like, yeah, there's competition enough. So they're still going to
But it all comes down to money.
But then, bro, like when 3 Music was actually 3 Music, people stopped paying attention to TGME for a second.
For a second, yeah.
Because 3 Music gives you like an experience. Look at what they did during the lockdown.
Yeah. I think crazy. When it comes to like their production in terms of stage performances and things, it's like, even something to look forward to. Yeah. But I mean, it's investment.
But see the 3 Music performances you were watching.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, some of them play into technical issues.
But we didn't know.
But see how it came off.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know the funny thing, I actually listened to Trevor Noah's podcast mm-hmm. after the Grammys, and they were talking about the fact that there were a lot of failings, but to the untrained eye,
you never deep it.
You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. Well, anyway, before we move on to how inclusive the awards mm-hmm. are, because that's another thing that I always think about. Rex Omar made a comment recently about the fact that Ghanaian artists need to stop focusing on the Grammys because Grammys is for American artists. Oh. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Uncle Rex is old, so Uncle Rex doesn't really understand the times of now. That's what I'm going to say. If Uncle Rex really understood the times of now, he wouldn't have made that statement. Or maybe he means it well. Maybe he means like, oh, build Ghana first, then you can look outside.
Because he did say that, like, focus your energy on TGMAs. This is your award scheme.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the fact that, like, artists don't even value TGMAs. You know, they are all like trying to get international acclaim.
Because you've not really, bro, back then, VGME
mm-hmm.
was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it was a big deal. Look.
Yeah, it was.
Kwakyisi was coming on stage with Will Barrows and stuff. It was a big deal.
Okay. I'm sorry. I can't even tell if you're trolling. How can you say it's a big deal? And then your big deal is a wheelbarrow.
It was a big deal in terms of like the experience because we know Kwakyisi to be like the Abodama time.
I think so,
like,
he even came with another tie. He was in a big tie.
Like it was a big deal at that time. But it's like times of now, things change. Like the world has opened. Mm-hmm. So maybe, and also because of how how the award scheme is being run. So the artists and what's not, maybe they don't even appreciate it because it's like, Charlie, we feel underappreciated. Why should we even turn up for something like this? Like, let's turn our eyes somewhere else. That's probably it.
So how much of some of these like issues when it comes to like even performances and things would you put on the artist versus the award scheme? Because, you know, I also think that sometimes our artists don't really put a lot into the presentation of their craft. There are a few artists that are literally known for doing that and doing it well. Right. But like for the most part, I feel like our artists don't put a lot into it. And because of that, it's like if there's no demand for it. So if I'm doing an award show and I don't have people coming up to me saying, I want the stage to come up. I want water here. I'm not going to like level up.
But then also, I think it's the production, is the production team of the award scheme. To be very honest, the reason why I really enjoyed working on like Kim Promise's like performance curation and all of that was because it was something new. It was even new for Kim Promise. Right. It was new for Kim Promise and his entire team. So like you pitch something to them, you pitch something that's like out of this place. You pitch it to them and they're like, hey, how we go do that? Oh, no worry. Me, I do the recce. I figure out how you go work already. So just trust me and let's just do it. Now, when you are able to do this once, twice, other artists will come and be like, oh, I want to perform. I want you to curate a performance for me. I want you to collaborate with me so we give these people an experience. But the moment maybe your production team or your production crew is probably sleeping and then maybe they are not really doing their work well. And I am saying, they sleep because they just want to get up and make people come and do. Or sit there and they go and sit down. Nah, bro, it's not supposed to be that. It's work. You have to sit down, stress yourself, curate performances. The reason why we liked Blacko before he dropped The Villain I Never Was, because he went on 3 music awards and he went to do The Rain Thing.
Yeah.
And then again, The Rain Thing too. There were issues.
Yes, but no, we didn't know.
Yes.
I know the microphone went off or something.
Yes, but then we still loved it because actually, we don't really see that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see anyone performing and rain is pouring on them. The last person we saw that was Sarkodie at maybe like a couple of years ago, TGME, when he performed Hope featuring Kwabla Kwabla. And then that was it. That was the closest we got to someone giving us an experience at TGME.
But I mean, I feel like since then, they've tried a little bit. I mean, we had Ifya on the swing.
That was last year.
Yeah. So they're trying to chip in a little bit of creativity. How inclusive would you say these awards are? Because for me, it almost always seems like Accra Music Awards.
Okay. I know.
And whenever you have like any, because what's the name of this guy from the North?
Fancy.
I remember when that year that he won, like that was the first time I think I realized that Ghanaians all over Ghana pay attention, because when he went back to the North, they had a whole like parade for him and everything. But I don't know. Do you think that they're inclusive? Because even look at the Asaka Boys, they were doing music for the longest time, and they didn't even come into the TGMA's periphery until like they became like, you know, Stormzy, whatever.
Yeah, I feel you. But I think that I'll speak on Fancy. But I think that Asaka Boys, they didn't do them about it. But with Fancy, you see, sometimes when people say this, I feel some way because, Charlie, would they do that thing for Africa? But if Grammy nominates Burna Boy right now, Burna Boy will go. Burna Boy, they do that thing for Nigeria and all of that too. But Burna Boy wouldn't feel validated until Grammy nominates him or until maybe he wins a BET award or something. That is how it's always been. Sarkodie won Best International Flow in 2019. We applauded him. Mm-hmm. Yes. If Sarkodie had won the Best International Flow or Best Rapper in Ghana, some way. I'm serious. Over there, like in up in the North, some way, because the industry is here. Charterhouse is not in the North. The board is in Accra.
But it's Ghana Music Awards.
It is.
So
it
how
is.
Inclusive?
The reason why Fancy at that time was able to like cross over was because their song crossed over to this place.
Yes.
Yes. But you don't go if you play song just for Tamale and then expensive people go hear the song for you. No.
No, but that's my critique right there, because it's like, if it's Ghana Music Awards, right? Why must the barrier for entry be your song blowing in Accra?
But you see the question you're asking. Cool. It's Ghana Music Awards. But Wiala has never gotten recognition for the songs she's churned out. Wiala has been touring like the world.
Yes.
She doesn't.
And that is a problem.
No one has actually vouched for her. No one has actually made it like put their foot and be like, nah, Wiala agenda, Mikasama. No one has actually done that. The reason why the Asaka Boys weren't able to, or they weren't taken like into consideration in terms of the TGMAs, was because when they started, right, there was this whole agenda portfolio. They started a whole agenda, right, about the boys and all of that. And mind you, it's an award scheme. You need to file for nomination. If you don't file for nomination, those people, they can't do anything about it. Because you now, you've done your own music and you're not filing for nomination as to why you deserve to be awarded or why you deserve to be recognized. Now, when you file for nomination, you are being considered or you are being nominated. That itself is an award.
So you think that artists all over the country, the reason why we are seeing maybe the same group of people or whatever is because certain people are not also applying.
No, they are not. Certain people are not applying. Like the Asaka Boys like this, they didn't apply for like 2 years. And the reason why Yao Talk Sorry was able to get through was because Yao Talk was separated from the Asaka Boys.
Right.
Mind you, even right now, we've not even had the serious buzz that we had from the Asaka Boys like in the 2020, 2021. Yeah. So right now, you know, like it's almost non-existent. So those boys, like they were the ones who did that to themselves and they've not been able to move past that. But mind you, I'm not even going to cut you off. They were saying it was a Kumasi thing. But right now, you look at DJ Slim. DJ Slim has moved from Kumasi. He's in Accra right now.
Mm-hmm.
Portfolio has moved from Kumasi. He's in Accra right now. So like this whole Accra thing, the Asaka Boys, they are living in Accra right now. Whether you like it or not, the thing is, yeah, you just have to come and apply yourself. That is it.
I think it's like the game is the game.
Yeah, it's just the game.
If you want to get the recognition, blow up in Accra, because it's kind of like the same thing in America. You go to Hollywood, you make it, then you are like, Yeah, I guess. But I just, you know, I just think that sometimes, you know, Ghana Music Awards, you know, maybe they need to sit down and I don't know if they are literally very intentional about the fact that we have to have representation from all regions in the music that we are selecting. I wonder if they do that.
I don't think the research team is that like vast.
Hey.
I'm serious. I don't think the research team is that vast. Mm. Because to be very honest, like when preparing for awards, the research you have to do is crazy. Mm. Even in terms of nomination, what song, like when the song was released, what category does this song fall under and all of that? It's very crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. So I think maybe the research team is not that vast. And maybe also, I'm actually speculating. Maybe also like, they don't really have a lot of people vouching for some of these people or putting their foot down for some of these people. Last year, for instance, Amma was supposed to perform. Amma willingly wanted to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't meet Amma's requirements in terms of certain production whatsoever. So Amma didn't really perform.
What do you feel about the Ghanaian response to Amma Ray? Like generally, especially on Twitter, it just seems like it's always this love-hate relationship going on.
I think maybe because Amma Ray is coming from a silver spoon house and people don't
it's not a grass to gray story. Yeah, so it's like,
I think we like suffering too much. Like we just have to accept it. Bro, it's just Amma Ray. The girl is hot. That is it.
Yeah.
She does good music. That is it. Just accept it and then just move on.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people to say that she doesn't make music for Ghanaians. And I don't know what that means because guys, I've keep telling you, Ghanaians are not a monolith. You say it's true?
It's true. It's true because last year I did an editorial about like the top 5 most streamed artists in Ghana. Amma was number 1, but I didn't count her as number 1.
Why?
Because, bro, her streams weren't coming from Ghana.
Where are they coming from?
Oh, from the States. And the second place was Nigeria. Ghana was like number 3 on Amma's list.
But I find that very interesting that like when she started to blow up, she was blowing up in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So if people in Nigeria can appreciate her music, what is the problem?
She started blowing up in Nigeria because the alternative scene in Nigeria is bigger than Ghana.
Right.
That is why. And the people she started with in Nigeria, like those people the Odunsis, all those people.
Yeah.
Like all those people are more or less like alternative kings right now.
Mm.
So yeah, obviously, if Santi should be like, Amma is coming on my, Amma Ray would gladly go on Santi's stream.
Anyway, now that we're talking about Amma Ray, another thing I'm also realizing is like, women in music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very rare that we even have women in the artist of the year conversation.
Right.
And I'm wondering what the problem is.
They are not doing enough? Yeah, they are not doing it.
Really? I've heard a couple of conversations where people say women artists don't pull their weight.
They are not really doing enough. I mean, like the last person who actually stood for the women was Ebony.
Mm.
Bro, like you never go anywhere without hearing Ebony's song, or maybe Ebony has done something. Ebony was everywhere up until she died.
When you say they're not doing enough, what do you mean?
They're not pushing themselves enough. Like I feel like sometimes like female artists just release their music, they do one or two, and just because they're females, like they'll just listen to it, but then that is it. It doesn't end there. Like you need to do extra. You might think maybe you have an advantage and whatnot, but I have to do extra. The year Miss V actually like gained some grounds. Miss V was actually doing a lot.
She was signed to Lynx, right?
Yeah, Miss V actually branched from doing whatever she was doing, even into dancehall.
Mm.
That was how crazy Miss V was working.
But the thing was that I think that the dancehall, Miss V's dancehall marketing was very intentional at the time because I feel they were trying to pit her against Khaki.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helped to create buzz because it was like this unspoken rivalry going on. I think that was just the genius of Lynx marketing.
But I think Khaki didn't even last. Khaki just lasted for like a year and a half or some 2 years. And then
honestly, I don't think that Khaki didn't last because she flopped or anything. I think
she didn't flop. Like she just...
Yeah, she didn't...
She just dipped.
She went to pursue nursing and everything. But yeah, I honestly feel like if there was no Khaki, Miss V probably wouldn't have done dancehall.
So yeah, so Khaki basically influences.
Yeah, I think it was a thing. Like the record labels are like, let's do Peter, you know?
But I think if Khaki actually didn't leave, Miss V wouldn't have stood a chance.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
But then as to the women, I feel like they don't really push themselves enough, to be very honest. Mm. I feel like they don't like, their songs are good, but it's not enough. When was the last time you heard of Jackie?
You know, Jackie put out some music this year.
To what extent?
What's the name of that song? Stuck in the middle of an elevator. It's been
bro,
so long.
I don't hear that song up until Cheat on You.
I don't want to cheat on
I'm
you.
I'm serious.
But that's Kitty's song.
Yeah, but up until Cheat on, I hadn't heard of Jackie.
She's working on an album, apparently.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been too long. Right now, the way music is, if you release album 2 weeks, we've forgotten about
that's
you.
That's another thing I do not like about Ghanaian artists. I feel like somebody has told them that when they are working on a project, they need to be silent. Like, you can be doing things. Mm-hmm. You can be doing media runs, plugging yourself into things, appearing here and there. You don't have to do this.
Or even promo. Look at how long Molly promoted Shake It to the Max.
Yeah. I just thought she's put out like some new song.
Some new. This Amari is about to release, I think,
Black
an
Star.
Album.
Yeah.
She hasn't released it yet, but it feels like she's released it.
Yeah.
Because she's of the pre-promo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not enough. Like, there's no intentionality behind, I'm doing my music, I'm putting it in your face.
Yeah.
There's no really intentionality. That is why we don't really give room for female acts to also enter, because the moment they enter, it's just like a select few, and then that is it.
In the last 5 years, which three
female acts?
Yes. Don't mention Amare, because I'll say Amare is like globally killing it, but like in the Ghanaian market,
female acts.
Yes.
Are they actively selling, or like female acts that me, I'm actually like paying attention to?
I feel like if it's the ones you're paying attention to, I don't know if we'll get much, because you have your biases.
Last like, 3 years, 2023, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Wendy Shay.
Yeah, I'll give Wendy.
Like she's got the streets on lock.
No, Wendy Shay is actually working.
Yes.
Yo, I'm sorry. I said the females don't work. But Wendy Shay really
is working.
No, Wendy Shay actually outworks almost every female act in Ghana.
Only the women.
Only the women. I'm serious. And you see, like, for Wendy Shay to actually, bro, Wendy Shay is street. So, like, the way even, like, pushes her music, like, the places she even plays shows at and all of that, bro, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's just the two of them. I think it's Wendy Shay and then.
You can't get one more?
Jackie. I think Sina just poked her head again. So I think Sina has been bubbling for some time now, but I think maybe the year for end before I go see, but for like the past 2 years or 3 years, it's just Wendy Shay and Jackie.
Wow. Well, I mean, it is kind of true to an extent. But you know, a lot of people also argue that women are more expensive to promote in the industry, because it's hair, it's makeup, it's outfits, in addition to everything else. Guys, you know, you just don't have to do as much. And I don't know how much of that is a lie.
It's a lie.
Why did you say it's a lie?
It's a lie. I've worked with males, I've worked with females. Like, it's pretty much the same thing. One is a little bit more emotional than the other. So maybe it's just the emotion. I'm serious. I'm serious.
But niggas are emotional too.
Yeah, niggas are emotional. But like, with niggas, you can get past certain things. But with like, women, if you are managing a woman, and also like, Punch actually said this, bro. Like, if you are managing a woman, it's just not the music. It's like everything else. Like, with the artist I was working with, like, he can actually be like, bro, Charlie, I know they feel well. Hey, my mind is bare me and since I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, but yeah.
Wait.
I'm like, let me rephrase. I'll be like, okay, try treat your ADHD. It will be cool. Then we move. But with the woman,
you can tell her that.
No, like, I would actually have to sit with you, understand a lot of things, maybe.
But you know the funny thing, I feel like male artists can also benefit from sitting down to have that conversation.
But
to understand.
You see, we are not wired like that.
Well, maybe if we should, because you know, it takes me back to a conversation you had on your channel about artists being really bad at interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Ghanaian society is so strict that our artists do not feel
they have
freedom.
They have to be prim and proper.
Yes.
Yeah.
They cannot present their personalities.
Because
I know some of these artists, like, I know them before the film and everything, and I know that they have a personality. Mm-hmm. But every time they go on these shows,
then they are,
you know, it's like you are going to talk to Andy Dusty, and it's giving very, yes, da, yes, ma, pal, cho. Like, I hate it.
Spray starch responses.
It. Yeah, you can look at someone like Ira Starr. She's like, what, 22, 23? Mm-hmm. And she's going to be interviewed by somebody who's in their 40s, and she's not giving
she's
you
cool,
that humility.
Nah, she's not trying to do any of that. Because, like, bro, like, it's our time now, like, I've also had the chance to interview a lot of artists, and how I talk to them away from their cameras is different from how they talk to me when their cameras are rolling.
True.
It's a little bit long for me because yeah. I want to ask you something about your music and you now your own song, but then you are being some way about it. So I'm like, hey, I don't even know being a trauma. Yeah. I mean, oh, being a trauma, grandpa, at least raise here. Cause
I've had so many experiences like that, you know, and it's crazy because it's also like sometimes they are here, there's management here, and then it's like the rehearsed answers, you know, oh, first of all, I want to give a shout out to God who always inspires. And, you know, it's like, why even, are we doing this?
Even you go to TGMA, an artist receives an award and bro, look at what Kanye did at the Grammys. Everyone was just wondering what I would do if I didn't win. So I guess they'll never, I guess we'll never know.
So it's like, it's a really wild time to be quoting Kanye right now. But sure.
I was actually highlighting on like the charisma, like the experience they give you with some of these things. You don't
it's
have to
very
be.
Personality driven. And I think that's one of the things that Blacko has over a lot of people.
Yes.
Is that he's not, doesn't shy away from his personality. Yeah.
I think mostly too is the old people, like the younger ones don't really do that. It's the older ones.
I don't think so. Even the younger ones, like, you know, we don't have, for example, on social media, you realize that if it's not like perfectly curated photos or events that they attend, in between, you're not getting random videos of just them being themselves. Like I'll tell you, like Tenny the Entertainer, one of the reasons why I was a huge fan of Tenny was I used to follow her Instagram. She would just randomly go on live, make melodies, crack jokes. So you like the personality of the person so much that when they put the music out, you want to follow.
I think that's why people like Blacko.
Yeah. Because like between drops,
they are doing
we don't
something.
Know you.
Yeah, yeah. Like show us more. Like show us you behind the music.
Yeah, man. Because I feel like artists don't understand that it all adds to the selling of the of the music. But anyway, I wanted to like get into some of the categories. By now, I mean, people already know who won what's about. Are there certain people in certain categories that you think don't belong? I know.
I don't know why you're asking me this. I'm pretty sure you're asking because you saw my editorial.
Of course, I've seen your editorial. So which category do you want to start with? Do you want to get into Artist of the Year first? Or you want to do...
Let's start with Artist of the Year.
Okay, fine. Yeah. One thing about me is I am fully aware that when it comes to like the gospel streets... I don't have information. Right. So every time they put a gospel artist in the Artist of the Year, I'll say Faye. That is their representative, you know. However, what is Team Eternity doing there?
Team Eternity actually deserve to be there.
Why?
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, bro.
Because I feel like, okay, and this could be uninformed, but if this is all coming off of Defe Defe, then I'm like,
well, maybe because you are not tapped in.
Yeah, I'm not tapped
maybe
in.
Maybe I'm also
full
not,
disclosure.
Yeah, full disclosure too.
Artist of the Year.
Yeah, no.
Team
so,
Eternity.
So I think maybe it's a thing for the award scheme because for like the past 3-4 years, there has to be a gospel act in there.
PSC, Esther versus Blacko,
and all of that.
You know the marketing of that era, lights versus darkness. I was like, what do you people mean? Like,
it's just music at the end of the day.
Music. Yeah. No, but like,
Is Joe Metal in there?
Yeah, Joe Metal is in there. Hey, and that's fine.
Uncle Joe.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just for me, like when I saw Team Eternity, of course, I only know Defe Defe. That's another thing. These gospel artists, they really be playing shows because every weekend, there's a crusade.
Yes.
And so if they are saying number of shows that they play, then they actually, everybody
awesome
here.
I was doing this like Friday. I think I was doing something. It was like a playlist or something. And I was looking for like, pictures from Team Eternity and I went on their Twitter.
Bro, like every weekend.
Uniformed Pamshe.
Yeah.
in multiple pictures, like different ones at different settings. I'm like, hey, and that Mubo shows power because like
They really, because you know this, like I feel like our regular artists, it has to be Independence Day party, Easter, Christmas. Like it's very specific.
But the church doesn't stop.
These niggas, 4 weekends in a month, they are always performing. Yeah. Okay, anyway, Artist of the Year. Who doesn't belong here?
I think so far Team Eternity, Stoneboy, King Promise, King Paluta. I think it's just a 3 of them. Hey, Kweku Smoke.
Huh.
Is it just the 5 of them in there?
Let's go. King Paluta, Joe Metal, Kweku Smoke, Team Eternity, Black Sherif, Stoneboy, and King Promise. Joe Metal does not belong.
Yeah, Joe Metal.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
When I look, like, whenever I hear Joe Metal, I compare Joe Metal to Bononi era. I've not really felt Joe Metal.
But are you plugged into the gospel scene, would you say?
Me?
Yes.
I'm way unplugged than you are.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're just saying it's based on a hand time.
No, okay. Like, it's not a hand time,
like,
but you
Joe,
like,
Metal?
Ah, like, by you. Like, when the song is, like, when the person has actually done something. Bro, Bononi time was crazy.
Right.
You don't go anywhere without hearing Bononi.
But you feel like this era, we haven't had any, like, standout.
We haven't really, yeah, had any standout thing from Joe Metal.
So Team Eternity should be the gospel rep,
yeah,
for this year.
Just them.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's go one by one. This has been
Wait, also, Black Sheriff should be out.
Okay, I actually believe that.
Black Sheriff should be out.
For the year and the review.
Yeah, Black Sheriff should be out. Yeah. So it should just be Team Eternity. Is Kweku Smoke in there?
Yeah, he's there.
Team Eternity.
Why do you think Kweku Smoke belongs here?
Bro, look at, bro, last year, do you know what the guy did?
Tell us.
Bro, like, and you see, like, I am not on Kweku Smoke's team, but you need to give credit when credit is due. Like,
did you see the video Ike Atili did? No. When she went out, because she was saying that Kweku Smoke does not belong here, mm-hmm, and people were attacking her. So she literally went out into the streets and spoke to random people on video. Mm-hmm. She would play, what's Kweku Smoke's song? Is it?
It's a lot. Holy Ghost, a lot. Ejekum.
So she would play Ejekum, mm-hmm, then she would play Lomo Lomo, mm-hmm, then she would play like Makuma and things, mm-hmm, like that. And consistently across board,
it was Ejekum.
People didn't know Kweku Smoke. I feel like.
Who didn't know Kweku Smoke?
Yes. She only got like two or three people in the video.
She was asking like maybe like real, real trench streets guys. She wasn't asking.
So Kweku,
like,
Smoke is not for trenches.
He's for trench people, but it's for trench people who stream music. Mm. Yeah, that's how come he was able to top the charts on Apple Music. Because real trench people, they're freemium people, they won't stream your music.
The audio mark.
Yeah, they won't do that.
No, but you know, what I would say is, like I was telling you, I heard Kweku Smoke's album in my barbershop, mm-hmm, and he's a good talent. I've seen a couple of Instagram videos where he's promoting some of the music. Mm-hmm. This is one where he got out of this car.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was really great, mm-hmm, good talent. But I wonder that sometimes for people like him, mm-hmm, where it's like very hip hop centered, mm-hmm, you know, is it befitting to put them in Artist of the Year?
Yeah.
When Ghana, like our music scene, mm-hmm, like hip hop does not really
so you
dominate.
See, before, I don't know what genre you classify Blacko as, but the year Blacko won the awards, Blacko was a hip-hop act,
right? Really?
Yeah, Blacko was a hip-hop act. Now with Kweku Smoke, the issue with Kweku Smoke is not even about his music, it's just about the guy's image not being in the faces of people.
Oh.
Aside Kweku Smoke dropping music, you won't hear anything about Kweku Smoke.
True.
Kweku Smoke, up until he was about to do the revival concerts, wasn't doing interviews and anything.
Mm.
He was just there doing music, releasing music. That was all. Mm-hmm. So I think that is why. But as to if a hip hop act deserves to be in there, 100%. Because you don't drop two albums in a year and the two albums are number one and number two. It doesn't happen as a hip hop act. Ghanaians don't really consume hip hop. Mm-hmm. So for that to happen, that's very crazy. And you topped it off with a revival concert.
So, Kweku Smoke definitely belongs there.
Yeah.
And you said Team Eternity.
Team Eternity.
Okay. Who else?
Stoneboy and Kim Promise.
You know, I feel the same way you feel about Black Sheriff when it comes to Stoneboy this year. I think that...
you didn't think Up and Running was good?
I think that Up and Running, it didn't...
Market it.
Give what...
Fifth Dimension gave.
Like, I saw... The strategy,
mm-hmm,
just like with Fit Dimension, mm-hmm, he had like Davido and them come, mm-hmm, into the country, do all of that. I saw the same thing with Spice, and
right,
but I just feel like it did not stick as much as Fit Dimension did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, did he win last year?
Yeah, he won.
He won last year, right?
Yeah, okay.
And I feel like if we're going to do a consecutive win,
mm-hmm,
it didn't give that. Like, it didn't, like, it has to be one of those things where it's glaring. Like, these conversations we are having about who's supposed to win is like unanimous. Then it makes sense.
Oh, this year is unanimous.
That's who, Stoneboy?
No, this year is promised. Yeah, some people are there and they are trying to do self put put.
I'm sorry, Kim Paluta's team have made
arguments. I'm very sorry. Like,
Kim Paluta's team has made
portfolio.
Portfolio is talking
about it.
Portfolio says, even in addition to all of that, they also contributed to the culture because everybody says, I pick it. Like, I'm thinking, is everybody says I'm thinking it became a thing. What phrase did promise ring?
It's just five star, bro.
Like, you know,
promise doesn't really.
No, it's true to self. True to self.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but promise is just like five star. Like, I'm not going to lie, promise doesn't really have any of those things, because promise, the work promise does, is just because we are in Ghana, we don't really have Ghanaians documenting it.
Mm.
But last year,
why is the team not documenting it then? That's one thing I'll say about Ebony. When Ebony was alive, her YouTube, I think a lot of people learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
She put everything was on every show she does, everything, her own team. So is it we don't
know? Like, you see, when I say documenting it, as in like where promise is, Jesus Christ, where it's promise cool. has played, where because I saw something like Promise actually performed at a place where no other African
Asia.
Artists.
Yeah. I think he did Asia. Like,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
But we document it, but it just ends there.
Mm.
We don't really have people like carrying it on, having, it's not being discussed on entertainment shows early in the morning. It is not.
But maybe it's also because our entertainment journalists are unqualified.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But
I think maybe because I've seen some of these entertainment shows where you have somebody come and sit down mm-hmm. and berate a young lady because she's wearing a crop hoodie top and baggy yeah. pants and doesn't even know the name of the album and say did life, and this is supposed to be an entertainment correspondent for a morning show. Yeah, let's be very bro. Serious. Yeah, give the right people the jobs. People that live, breathe, like somebody like Reginald Amada is like deep into, he has a journalism degree, right?
They're rather in case gonna, you didn't know.
Yes. They're rather going to go for somebody who is sensationalized for nonsense, and then they put them there. So they,
you are going inside. Is it because of the shades you are wearing?
Oh, yes. Because yeah, no, but I'm just
really,
saying.
Really going inside.
I just feel like they're unqualified. That's what it is. But look, top two people, I think Kim Promise deserves it this year. I have a little beef with him because I feel like True to Self wasn't promoted as much as I would have loved it to.
Do you like that album?
I love it. I think the song with Faith is the best thing on the album. Permission Granted is the best thing.
Oh, I have a rebuttal.
You really?
I think it's Madu.
No.
I think it's Madu.
No.
Like the song Madu comes with this nostalgic feel from Baby I'm Jealous. That was what it was sampled from. So like when you know all
come
of that,
closer.
Nah.
Hey. And you know what annoys me?
Permission 932 went
nah. I feel like he finished like that album and then he just pushed it aside and dropped.
Because he had to go on
Keep
tour.
It Sexy.
He
and now Keep
tour.
It Sexy was you can promote.
Yeah. I think, we just drop the thing and then, like, it just ends there. We don't really have people to carry it through.
Nah. But I definitely do feel like this is Kim Promise's year. But I listened to Portfolio and I felt like he made some strong points for Paluta.
For Paluta.
Well. Yeah. I feel like, Stoneboy and Blacko, good effort, but this is not their year. I think it's between Kim Promise and Paluta.
I think the reason why you feel like Portfolio made some interesting points in journalism, there's something called the agenda setting theory. He said he's just setting the public agenda.
Yeah.
That's the same thing he did for Stoneware last year and he worked. But this year, I'm sorry, it's not going to work.
I mean, because look, I remember seeing there was this video of like these kids, whether they were in Europe or something, and they were singing Makoma word for word. They weren't even Ghanaian kids. So if you're talking about like exposure and how far, you know, they also have something to say over there.
No, but I don't think Paluta.
I pick it. All right, let's go to most popular song of the year. We have Olive the Boy, Asylum, Black Sharif and Kitty, Loma Loma, Last Mid Pool, Kim Paluta, Asida, Black Sharif, January 9th, Kim Promise, Paris, Team Eternity, Defe Defe, and Stoneboy, Jejereje. Pool needs to go.
Asida deserves to be there. Asylum deserves to be there as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Loma Paris Loma. Paris deserves to be there. Loma Loma deserves
January
to be
9th
there.
Needs to go.
January 9th needs to go.
Yeah, I don't think it was that popular. But what do you make of this Makoma versus Asida thing that happened?
I think Asida is probably bigger than Makoma.
And I understand it because, you know, Christian Nation. But they said it had the most radio play.
Asida.
Yes, that's why, because you can't keep two
songs
from one person. Oh. But yes, that's why they so
but
they picked,
these people are actually eating their words too. So because they actually said this thing is not going to happen, it's happening.
That's why they didn't put it in. But I think that Makoma online, Makoma did more Like in terms of like, because there was a point where every time you open TikTok, it you open Makoma. Twitter, I was Makoma. But I can see how radio stations will be playing and say that.
Ah, wait, too. Which song is Makoma? Koye Mama. Koye Mama.
Yes.
Ah, hey.
Yes.
Asida is bigger. Asida is bigger.
Really?
Asida is bigger. Hey, no. Hey, relax. There's Asylum. There's Paris. There's Lomo Lomo. Hey. Hey.
Honestly, I don't know. This is a voting category, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Olive, the boy's team have the budget to get the votes. But Asylum is definitely up there because Asylum was everywhere and is still everywhere. So I'm just going to discount Asylum on the count of if we are doing budgets. That leaves Lomo Lomo because you don't play with Lynx. Like Lynx is there. And then Asida, based off on
portfolio
actual... Yeah, well, not just portfolio, but if it's votes, I can see people actually voting for Asida.
But it will shock you that people will vote or Richie Mensah will do something.
Lomo Lomo. Like, so you think Lomo Lomo is going to win?
Oh, Lomo Lomo can win. But also, not
Paris.
Hey, Charlie. I think because Promise is going to get Artist of the Year, they might probably...
They'll sacrifice certain things.
Yeah, they'll sacrifice a lot of things. Yeah.
I think
maybe this one, maybe Kiddy might.
For Lomo Lomo.
Or maybe Paluta. They might probably console Paluta with this.
Yeah, honestly. But you know what? They could give best collaboration to Kiddy and Black O for Lomo Lomo.
Lomo Lomo.
And then they'll give Asida the win because of the fact that Makoma didn't.
This is the move from Chatterhouse.
I'm so not me.
If it actually plays out well, you know that.
I have never been to a single TGMA in my life. the last category I actually want to talk about because, I mean, is the best new artist. I watched your editorial.
Yeah, this guy worry me.
I find it interesting that you call it editorials. But anyway, what are your thoughts on this category? We have Lali X Lola, Ara the J, Rap Father, Team Eternity, Beastrap, Kotum.
Beastrap KOTM.
That's how I call
Beastrap
it. Kotum. That's how I call it.
Actually.
I heard it's a king of the mic.
Yeah, king of the movement.
Movement.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Kotom for me. Like, I'm honestly. And then Kwesi Amewuga. Yes.
RDJ, B-Strap, Team Eternity.
They are the ones that deserve to be there.
Yeah, just the three of them.
Hey, you Team Eternity. What's your same one more?
Yeah, Team Eternity, like they are just, it's just the three of them. Now, if you actually watch my editorial, like 2019, 2018, bro, the best new artists, their category
was
stacked.
Yeah, no, that was a tight, yes, Wendy Shay, Kim Promise.
It was, that, Kwame Eugene, yeah, Kiddy,
that
Baku, it was stacked.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, maybe if you were in that category and then you didn't win, you know go vex. No, because you know you're there with killers.
Yeah.
Like, you know go, and this category, there are people, like, a lot of, it's just three of them who are deserving to be in this category.
So you said Beastrap, Team Eternity, and Ara.
And Ara, the rest are seat fillers. Mm-hmm. Like, the rest are seat fillers. They are just like...
Is there someone that you think should have been here that didn't get the...
Kojo Black.
Oh, it's true. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, Kojo Black should have been there, but...
It's true. Wait, did he apply? Maybe he didn't
I'm not
apply.
Sure he filed for it.
Because
I think he's actually building a case to go for...
Artist of the Year.
New Artist of the Year next year.
Wait, what's the difference between best new artist?
Oh, yeah. Best new. But I feel like maybe...
And he will do it next year.
Yeah, so that next year maybe to be only him.
So excellence is this year.
Yeah, so it qualifies for next year.
You think it will be only him? People will come out of the woodwork, so... There's this guy that I saw. They said it was Jubed.
Jubed.
Hey, people will be coming
out. But one song is not enough.
One song is not enough.
Oh, it's not enough.
Oh, okay. So then what's Team Eternity doing here?
They've played church shows and since they've done a lot too. Maybe Team Eternity, they've released albums every, you don't know.
Who do you think is going to win? I want Ara to win.
I think Beastrap is going to win.
Really?
Yeah. I think Beastrap is going to
win. Hey, Team Ara the J.
Beastrap, Kotom. I think Kotom.
Kotom is going to win.
Yeah, Kotom is
no, but
win.
I enjoy Beastrap as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I feel like for me, artists, all encompassing, visually and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like Ara the J. Just like his presentation, you know.
Beastrap has actually... been here for a long time and he's actually done a lot. Last year, he started the year very well.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Friends,
mm-hmm.
Amen,
mm-hmm.
Yesu. You don't go to church. So
he's on a song with Sarkodie, right?
There's Amen. And that song...
Is that's on the mixtape?
Yeah, it's on the mixtape. That
Championship.
Song, yeah, that song the producer, that song, Sarkodie was not even supposed to be on that song. I feel like Sarkodie, the instrumentation was catered strictly for B-Strap.
Mm.
When you hear the instrumentation, you know that's not, this is B-Strap. So Sarkodie was just a plus. After this, you can go back and listen to it.
What is that? What alarm is that?
Oh, I have to go to class.
Yeah.
I'm going to school. Eh?
Okay. You're in school. Mm. Okay. So you really think B-Strap is going to win?
Yeah, it's just B-Strap. Mm. I mean, like, Nemo, like, don't get me wrong. Like, bro, like, you've done some good work, but, bro, B-Strap, bro. It's just B-Strap.
For me, I just got to say, are there any categories you think that they need to introduce?
Alternative.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like they need
for
to.
For who and who?
Like,
Molly?
Yeah, like, best alternative scene. Because, like, right now, I feel like where the alter scene is moving to, because we've not really had an alti scene for a very long time. That is why maybe La Meme Gang saved then Tank.
Oh, okay.
I'm serious. Mm. Because I got to know of Odunsi because of La Meme Gang. Mm. Me the Odunsi koyeden. But it was because of La Meme Gang I got to know of Odunsi.
Right.
And I feel like right now, the alti scene is becoming big.
Yeah.
And for an award scheme that has been running for like 26 years,
mm-hmm.
if you are being progressive, you need to include some of these,
yeah,
like, these
definitely.
Things. Because if you are not getting Amare to come and perform, if you are unable to get her to come and perform, and then she's been nominated for Alternative Artist of the Year, and then she wins it,
mm.
Amare coming, getting her award, giving a speech, gives you some sort of like placebo or some sort of currency.
True.
Even if she puts it out, mm. it gives you some sort of currency. It makes people feel like, or maybe it makes people in the artist scene feel like, oh, Ama has been able to get recognition for this. Well, then it means it's not a lost cause.
Yeah. Because I think that's what Ifeah did for the vocalist category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there was a time when, like, people weren't really, like, checking for singing.
Yeah.
Ifeah came in, like, I think, 5 years, mm-hmm. she was winning Best Female Vocalist.
Okay, she did that before Akwaba came, right?
I mean, it's two. It's female vocalist and male vocalist.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they put it together.
Okay.
Yeah, but for me, I think the category they should introduce, just because they have music video,
mm.
I think is best dancer.
E.
Yeah.
Best dance group or best dancer. Oh, and also dance. Best group. They need to introduce best group.
As in what, music group?
Yeah, best
group.
How
many groups do we have?
Oh, we have two. We have two.
The Dope Nation and who?
The Dope Nation and then Lali and Lola.
Yeah, but like, I feel like we don't have a lot of groups to make that.
If,
like,
we had groups back then.
We had groups, VIP, Prior, Inkase, Triple M. We had groups. I just feel like currently we don't. That's the reason why, because I feel like now dance has become a big part of the music scene. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody that has a song, they have to have a viral dance, mm-hmm. and things like that. So I can see if we put in a dance, because if you are awarding directors for best music video, mm-hmm. as a Ghana Music Awards, I think that dance having taken center, mm-hmm. stage, there should be a category for dancers.
How I'm trying to
not
think
dance
of,
group dancers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how the nominations is going to go.
The considerations will
the
be
technicalities
work you
and
are
all
put
of
into music videos, live stage performances, and then online as well. So, for example, doing viral dance challenges, mm-hmm. and things like that. Because you know, there's like Ziggy, there's like
there's DWP, DGL.
Yeah, I can see it all.
But the dancers, they are playing to you, so maybe unless they are category, unless
it's good.
People.
And you see, I even think like the dancers will even add a kind of like cool factor to the awards, because the dancers, they know how to show up, they dress well, they'll just bring a certain level of youthfulness to the, mm. awards, because sometimes that red carpet is just a waste.
But you've never been to TGMA, and look at how you are just speaking.
But I watch, but we all watch the red carpet.
I don't really enjoy the red carpet, it's boring.
Exactly, they don't give us much,
and the place is hot.
Hot as hell, and it's not well curated. People are late. But anyway, moving on. Were there any snubs?
I think, with the exception of Kojo Black, I also feel like the board should actually move past. You didn't file for nomination, so we won't.
So they should nominate people who don't feel like they want,
like,
to be,
just because, like, some people feel like, oh, I don't want to do it this time. I'm trying to be strategic. Some people also feel like they're way too big for it. But I feel like there should be clauses in there where they can actually come in and be like, nah, like, we need to, like, put you in there. We need to do this and this and this. Maybe, like, a conversation can be had or something.
And they can reach out to the team and be like, hey, You're one of the popping artists this year. Why didn't you?
Yeah, why didn't file you file for nomination and those things? And also, yes, that they do that. They will call you and be like, "Oh, you've not filed for nominations. What's up?"
Really?
If you tell them you're uninterested, they will leave you alone. So I'm pretty sure that's what most of them did. And maybe like Dope Nation too. Maybe that's what they did.
Yeah. Dope Nation didn't get any awards.
By the categories, I see that is like.
I didn't even take notice.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Anyway, guys, listen, I feel like we have gone over time, but this has been a really dope conversation, honestly, Reginald. Yeah. Reginald is from the Full Access show.
Yeah.
YouTube name Full.
It's just Full Circle. Full Circle Africa.
Yeah, what's your social media?
It's my name. It's Reginald_Amar on Twitter and Reginald_Amar on...
Please spell Amar. Is it like A-R?
No. So it's A-M-A-A-H.
Okay, yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
And Instagram, LinkedIn. It's everywhere. It's
just LinkedIn?
Yeah, bro.
What are you doing on LinkedIn?
I told you I'm in school, so I'm trying to do school stuff.
I see. Well, if you like the opinions he shared...
But LinkedIn, like, is it that bad?
It's not bad. Actually, I've heard people are marketing music on LinkedIn now.
It won't go anywhere, mom.
Are you sure?
Bro, LinkedIn, everybody, they set placebo for them.
Exactly. It's not where all like the Spotify execs and stuff are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No one is paying attention to those things. We just like and repost, don't worry.
I know, right? Congratulations. Yeah, it's not deep. Thumbs up.
Yeah, that's it.
But guys, look, if you enjoyed Reginald, his commentary, his vibe, I know every time I have a guest on here, right, there will be a whole group of people who come and be like, oh my God, da, da, da. And then there will be the people who will be like, please, can I have his number? Is he single? Please, he has shared his socials, so like leave us alone with all of that. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be right back to do our listener letter because you know we always do listener letters. By now we should know who the artist of the year is, and if we were just talking a load of bullshit, hey. All right, we'll be right back.
For your body, body, I feel running any kilometer. When my heart is beating for you, fit to break my speedometer. This your gym body, you are like. It be waiting my mind. This money gon' change your life. She not BBL or real. No matter cause this is real. This attraction is for real. Sumo me baby, what about let I hear any BB my favorite? I will lie.
And that is our conversation, you know, a little bit prediction, you know, Bstrapport, new artist of the year, Kim Promise won, you know, like, I love it. We did some predictions and, you know, it gave what it gave. I really enjoyed that conversation with Reginald. And if you did too, you know, he put his socials in there. Go find him, support him. Check out Full Access on the Full Circle YouTube channel and just run up the numbers, guys, because he really does some great commentary on music in Ghana. And I love it.
All right, guys. So listen, all this talk about Ghana music is a perfect segue into this next segment, which is Q Music. Okay. You guys remember Q Music. Q Music is back, y'all. Yes, it's the portion of the show where we like to celebrate Ghanaian talents that are really doing amazing things in the music scene. And this time around, we're talking about Amofi's new song, Mariana, which I am obsessed with. Kwame, you know the thing. Kwame's always like putting me onto music. I don't think I put Kwame onto music. I don't know, maybe Beyonce stuff, but it's always interesting because come to find out, like Kwame is like, I wouldn't say he's as much of a Beyonce fan as I am, but he appreciates quality. But yeah, he sent me Morphe's Mariana and I immediately fell in love and I said, this is really great. And so, we have for the very first, episode of cue music, or should I say first segment back this season, we've got Moffy, and he's going to be talking about his new song, Mariana. And we just, you know, get to know him in a quick, you know, 5-6 questions. You know what we do with cue music. So, hey, sit back, relax. I honestly need to stop saying sit back and relax, because maybe you're walking around, maybe you're in the kitchen cutting onions, but like, yeah, this is cue music. And we give you Moffy. Enjoy.
They were banning what you moved away, stand up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will lack on Femi Noko. Chingo moved away, stand up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will lack on Femi Noko. Chingo, my Mariana.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Cue music.
I'm feeling high, don't you feel it too? I know go lie, girl, you make me feel good. Bonnie, you move your hips, girl, waist. Your flow be like an oasis. You calm my nerves all the way. Oh, tell me small money daily, yeah. But that girl with the bottom of my sleeve, she know I got you, so she tryna move sneaky. But I flee with some speed, oh Marie. Bonnie, oh Joe, move that waist, turn up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will not go, Femi Noko, Shingo. Move that waist, turn up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will not go, Femi Noko, Shingo.
Oh, my Mariana, oh,
my sweet Mariana.
Yo,
you blow my
Yo,
mind.
My soul on fire,
my soul on fire.
Oh, my Mariana,
you sweet Mariana.
Yo,
you blow my mind.
Set my soul on fire.
Hi, Sincerities. I'm Morphe, a hip life and Afrobeat artist from Ghana. St. Pete to be precise.
What's your earliest memory of a Ghana song that like you really fell in love with, whether it's melodies or lyrics?
I think it would be Maria Amapino.
What does that sound like?
Maria. Maybe cry, mommy.
What about it did you like?
Well, first off, it was the video, because that's the first thing I remember seeing when he turned into the drum when the guy was looking for him. That was crazy. But also the melodies on the song, the La Chaco ni chami oye, that's crazy. I'm not even kidding. And the story is different. But I was having a conversation with Jasper, and he was like, that's something that most guys do. It's like most of the songs are songs that it's like we are chasing after women, or we are begging women to like us. If you like pay attention to the song like correctly, you understand what I'm saying.
Mm. So who would you say are some of your music inspirations?
Well, I definitely mentioned Darko Vibes, because even starting music, I wasn't really putting Guy in my music that much. But he did it in a way that I was like, you know what? It sounds cool. I could be doing it. Like I mentioned, I'm a Pino. And then Wolome, Stoneboy also plays like a very big role. And then Mugis, because he's been one of the people that I grew up listening to a lot and enjoying like his music.
What's your favorite Mugis melody?
I think it will be, bring yourself. Walai. Baby, I made you ni banko. It's easy to sing, easy to catch on. For Darko Vibes, it's basically the infusion of Ghana.
What's your favorite Darko Vibe song?
Tomorrow.
I mean, if you didn't say Tomorrow,
because you didn't see what I'm going through every day.
Ah, I hear you wrote your song Patience because your girlfriend at the time thought you were cheating on her. Is it true that she thought you were cheating on her? And were you cheating?
I wasn't cheating. She actually did think I was cheating on her, so she was also going behind my back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's tit for tat?
But it wasn't tit for tat because I wasn't doing anything.
It was only tat.
But yeah, that was what happened. And funny enough, I think we wrote the song that same day that like the issue came up. That was the same day the inspiration like came up and then we wrote the song. That song was written with Freddie Gambini.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like you just walk around with like some kind of notepad or whatever, and whenever things happen to you, you start writing songs.
I used to have a short like singing notebook. That's what I used to use. But nowadays I just use my phone. I just record them like
the notes app.
What inspired Mariana?
So let me take the story from the top. So last year I was going through a very hard time, but I met someone, a very nice woman, right? And she represented like a rock in my life where I knew that someone was there for me, even though like life was hitting so hard, basically. So she inspired the song, but during the writing, I realized that the song basically stands for like any and every like woman in any man's career that makes him feel like he's the, can I curse? He's the shit, basically. So yeah, that's the inspiration behind the song.
Okay, what was it like putting the song together from lyrics to beat? Like, which one came first? Was the lyrics or the beat?
It was a beat. I think we recorded it in Dan Suman. Yeah, we recorded it in Dan Suman. When we were recording the backends for the song, it was fun. Where you see the "Oh my Mariana," there's a backing that goes "Sweet Sweet Mariana." Ah, it was so sweet because everybody was involved, from the producers to Noche. Everyone came together and recorded like the crowd side.
Oh, okay, so that was like a crowd singing. It wasn't just layered vocals.
It was crowd, and it was fun because you get to experiment how to like do some stuff like that, because you have to record it in layers. Some will be at the back, some will be close, some will be, it was just full experimental.
If you're going to like recommend Mariana as like a drug for somebody that is like sick, what kind of sickness
somebody
would you see?
Sick.
Yeah, I'm not, come on. Like, for example, if you're advertised as a product, like for example, FPAC is for if you have a headache, what's the situation that you say, hey, listen to Mariana, and then like.
I recommend it for, I think it would be someone who's depressed.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to lift the depression.
Because, yes, you see, the song is very exciting. From the beginning of the song, you hear the beat and you're already nodding your head. Mm. Even though it's about a woman, it gives you that feeling, that asopo feeling that makes you want to dance and stuff like that. And that's one thing I like about the song, because even if you're sad, it makes you happy. And that's basically the period of which I wrote the song, in a period where I was going through it. But the song like basically kept me up, because we wrote the song a year ago, basically. Mm. Yeah. And it's been with us like throughout the year. It was supposed to come last year, but I mean, perfect timing. God's timing is always the best. So, yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to end this interview by actually singing Mariana, because I feel like you need to give people a taste of what they don't know if they haven't heard it. So yeah, when you're ready.
All right, let's go. So this is my song, Mariana. Let me start. I'm feeling high, don't you feel it too? I no go lie, girl, you make me feel good. Bonnie, you move your hips, girl, waist. Your flow be like an oasis. You calm my nerves all the way. Will turn me small on a daily, But that girl with the butt of my sleep. She know what got you, so she tryna move sleeky. But I flee with some speed. No, you were banny, what you moved away, stand up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will lock on Femi Noko. Chingo, moved away, stand up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will lock on Femi Noko. Chingo, my Mariana. Sweet, sweet Mariana. Girl, you blow my mind up. Set my soul on fire. Oh, my Mariana. Sweet, sweet Mariana. Girl, you blow my mind up. Set my soul on fire.
I really need your love. Need your love. Though you like my thing, you make my feeling all right. Oh, Ito. Don't be long talk, baby, I love you. Love you. Tell me what you want, Bambino. Don't go waste time for you, all right. Yeah, yeah. Been a swimmer, me, oh, Maria. Don't let it over me, or put the pepper in my eye. Yeah, you will come and friend to me, I love you. Oh baby, put it on you, feeling alright. Oh, you do.
Move that way, turn up the bass. You feel to make man, I go insane. I will not confirm me, no go. Shingo,
oh, my Mariana.
This be Mariana. Yo, you blow my mind. Soul on fire, Mariana. Sweet, sweet Mariana. Yo, you blow my mind. Set my soul on fire, Mariana. Sweet, sweet Mariana. Yo, you blow my mind. Set
on fire. Mariana, she's sweet Mariana. Yo, you blow my mind. Set my soul on fire.
All right, guys, it's time for us to do our listener letter for this episode. Okay, so I'm going to call, what am I going to call this one? I'm going to call this one Laimumu. So Laimumu said, hi, Jill. So I just turned 25 and I'm coming to realize that society will never stop expecting one thing from you. Oh, okay. When I was in JSS, everyone would ask which high school I wanted to go to. After that, it became uni, then NSS. Now it's where are you working or marriage? It's somewhere, my dear. It is never going to stop. As per rite of passage. Can't we just take a break from whatever the next step is? I want to know, how do you navigate your personal life balancing through expectations versus what have been put on you. No, expectations that have been put on you versus going after what you really want. Laimumu, look, let me tell you something. I noticed something about myself, okay? Growing up, I was very by the book. I sat in the front of the class. Well, not in the front, first three or four rows. I was by the book. I didn't break the rules. I didn't speak pidgin. That's why pidgin sucks. I was always speaking English because they said don't speak pidgin, they'll put you in trouble. I was speaking English. I was like, you know, on the straight and narrow. Like, I had crazy ass friends, but in class, I would always compare myself. I went to the schools that my parents chose for me. Okay. No, honestly, my mom chose a Chessy. I had never heard of it, but I went. I just always kind of like just followed the rules and did everything that I was expected to do. And, you know, after having an HSC education and just learning more about myself and the things that I was interested in, I realized that, you know, and it's not wrong because, you know, obey your parents, whatever. But I was just, you know, I just felt like I was grateful for the opportunities that they were presenting me with the kind of education that I had, the exposure that I had. And so I would always just listen to my parents. And when it came to a time where I started to have interest in the stuff that I wanted to do, I just kept a day job. Because I realized that, you know, a lot of the misgivings and whatever from my parents comes from like the fear of like you not being successful. And so I kept a day job and I pursued all of my crazy ventures and stuff like that. And it was never a discussion. I always say, my mother discovered off the top when I put my grandmother on off the top. And that's her mom, right? And it's like 3 or 4 years into off the top. I never really like discussed stuff with my parents like, oh, I want to do that. No. I just go and be doing it. I'm going to be doing it. And right now, as I'm taking like my own path and the decisions that I take, the actions and inactions that I take, I tell myself, look, I have lived a big chunk of my years, you know, doing right by my parents. And I'm still doing right by them. It's just that like I'm putting me first in terms of what I want to do, my interests and things like that. I'm not going to follow society and what people will say I should do next and just, you know what I mean? And you have to come to that realization. The thing about parents is that, you know, if you start disappointing them a little bit, and I don't mean like, you know, be a bum or whatever, like, but if you start disappointing them or if you start showing them that, listen, you have your own dream job. There might be a little push and pull at the beginning, but hey, it will give in. And as for society, my dear, society will always have an opinion. They will always have an opinion. And that's the thing. They don't know the backstory. They don't know the inside story, but they will always have an opinion. Hey, girl, we're NSS. So I best know if you're my fan. Hey, I ding. Hey, girl, we 2 years. You're real good. Like, bruh, do not live your life based on society. Society changes every single time. There was a time when baby hair was actually whack. Kim Kardashian lasered off her baby hairs. And then a few years later, baby hairs became a thing. And she said, oh, I regret lasering off my baby hair. Society is always going to change the goalposts. They're always going to shift it. Today, this is in. Tomorrow, this is not. Today, this is in. Tomorrow, this is not. So if you're going to be living your life trying to follow and do all this rite of passage, okay, this next thing is this. Girl, live your life. Spend some time with yourself. Think about what you want, what you're interested in, and pursue it and make a plan. Okay. Because like I said, anytime your parents are like concerned about certain direction they are going to take, it's because of the uncertainty. You know, they're a little bit scared and everything. And sometimes it translates as, you know, being bossy and telling you what to do and shouting at you, my dear. Once there's a path you want to take and you're serious about it, you put in the work and you start to show results, they will toe the line. they will toe the line. Even if they don't toe the line, they will learn to keep quiet about it. Because it's your life, girl. And you an adult. 25? You're an adult. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's just how I'll be navigating. I don't know if I've answered your question, but I did my best. Shout out to you guys. If you have any questions, dilemmas, problems, whatever it is, send us a DM at Sincerely Accra on Twitter, at Sincerely Accra on Instagram, and at Sincerely Accra on TikTok if you're fierce. You know what I mean? We'll be right back to do the shout outs.
Friday night, chilling with my G's, of course. Yeah, everything don't go. You don't really need to be told. Yeah, we don't go. All of my G's are good. Yeah, with the dog and do. That we would make them run. Oh yes, you go die for now. You go die for now. Yeah, me and my G's, we go base. We go day for one for now. Yeah. One for now. Yeah. You go talk true. No max on, no lack my die. Them they call me pretty, pretty. I no send them oh yeah, 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 yeah. I just stay by lele, lele. Everything dies, everything's off the current. Make a see at that, we want my friends. All current, all current.
All right, so for this episode, I'm going to be shouting out Felix Obing. I hear you're a huge fan of Sincerely Accra, and your friend Bernice wants me to give you a birthday shout out. Your birthday is June 5th. June, well, girl, can I do a birthday shout out ahead of time? I think I can. June 5th, Felix Obing, this is from Bernice. So I'm going to say happy birthday in advance. If I remember and I'm recording in June, I'll say it again. You know what I mean? Because I hear you're a big fan, and I'm so grateful that you're a big fan. So shout out to you and shout out to Bernice. And hey, guys. That is it. That's our show. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. I hope you guys, you know, in the chatter or whatever, you know, something stuck out to you. Don't be afraid to share your thoughts, your opinions, hashtag Sincerely Accra, or even tweet at us at Sincerely Accra. Just, you know, leave a comment, share a thought on the YouTube, wherever, and let's engage. We always like to start conversation with you guys, okay? Hey guys, listen, all too soon we come to the end of this episode. I had fun and I know you did too. So do what you need to do. Share it. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and far away, that Sincerely Accra had a titillating experience and titillating conversation on the TGMA 2025. And everybody that you know must listen to it too. Yeah. Okay, guys. Okay, I've done it. My bread. And yeah, it's time for me to go and hit this sack. I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. Yes, holding it down on the ones and twos. And I also want to give a quick shout out to the best number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. Yes, GCR Networks. Yes, Musuaya, sorry, one time. You know what I mean? All right, guys, I'm going to love you. I'm going to leave you and I'm going to catch you on the next one. Hey, share this podcast and let people know it's the bomb. Keep checking for us because it's always a good time on Sincerely Accra. Adios, amigos.
The gentleman.
Yeah. I'm on my way, and I'm not going to delay. Your voice like a melody. Sweet me for my body, oh, darling, baby. I can't wait to be back home. Bet all your heart is my home. Won't be long, I will be back, oh, darling, baby. One name I call my swat, yo. Yeah. When you meet ya, baby, tell me how the thing go. I know you miss me, baby, make you know the thing go blend. I know you want me around, but I want you more than.
You want me around, but I want you more, baby. Man, I'm quite so This has been a Gold Coast Report production. Man,